Ellipsis sparks potential. The ellipsis, those three dots, was first used in a 1588 English translation of a Roman play. It's a handy tool in writing, showing a gap in a sentence. It's like saying, to be continued. It signifies a pause or a possibility, not the end. A girl from Kenya, born to East Asian parents, lived by this idea. She faced big changes in her life, from taking exams to moving continents. Yet, she saw each change as a new beginning, not an end. She studied hard, got top marks, and won a scholarship to a fancy boarding school. But then her father fell ill, and she had to return home. Soon after, she found herself in London, then married to a man she barely knew, and finally settled in a Toronto suburb. Through it all, she kept reminding herself that she didn't know her new culture yet. This mindset made her resilient. Instead of seeing change as a threat, she saw it as an opportunity to grow stronger. An MIT study discovered something fascinating. When you think you might miss out on something, it suddenly becomes more appealing. Without even realizing it, we're wired to want as many options as possible. It's like seeing life as a sentence with an ellipsis instead of a full stop. Often, we hold ourselves back by using words like can't or won't, especially when talking about our hopes for the future. But what if we replace those absolutes with yet? It's just three letters, but it holds incredible power. You're not the center. In 2000, two psychologists coined the term spotlight effect to explain how we often think others are scrutinizing us more than they are. Later, professors from three universities looked into this by asking people to guess how others would rate their appearance, athleticism, and video game skills. The study discovered that people consistently overestimated how much attention others paid to them. This self-imposed fear of judgment can contribute to anxiety. Even though we might feel like all eyes are on us, that's usually not the case. In 2016, a study in Psychological Bulletin found that younger generations are increasingly embracing the idea of perfectionism. Striving for perfection, coupled with the belief that everyone is watching our every move, can be a dangerous combination. People are usually too caught up in their own lives to notice you. And getting fired doesn't mean you'll end up on the streets. When you mess up, whether at work or in a relationship, it stings, but it toughens you up over time. But here's the thing. It's human nature to blame yourself first. You've got to understand that it's not all about you. Even if failure is right next to you, it doesn't define who you are. When you shift the spotlight away from yourself, that's when you can keep on learning and growing. Keep moving forward despite uncertainty. When marriages end, it's like reaching a ... in your life story. It's a reminder that the world doesn't revolve around you. Instead of dwelling on it as a failure, see it as just one part of your journey. Think of your life as a staircase, each step representing past experiences, but the next ones are still a mystery. A study from 2013 found something interesting about how we perceive change. People tend to think they've changed a lot in the past, but they underestimate how much they'll change in the future. This is called the end of history illusion. It happens because we often base our future on what's happening right now. Navigate life's ups and downs. When things are going great, it feels like a pat on the back. But when life throws you a curveball, it's easy to think it'll always be that way. But here's the thing. Life's like climbing stairs you can't see. Even if you can't picture it, you're moving forward. You've just got to trust yourself to keep stepping up. Take this guy who went through a divorce. He ended up in a tiny apartment. Instead of wallowing, he started a blog called 1000 Awesome Things. At first, it was kinda sarcastic. But as he kept writing, he started appreciating the small stuff, like catching all the green lights. And guess what? Eventually, he found love again and became a dad. Shifted perspectives alter self-narratives. When you hit rock bottom and struggle to climb out, you might feel ashamed. Psychoanalyst Carl Jung called this feeling the swamplands of the soul. While shame is often linked to others' judgments, It's really about how you see yourself. If you have a strong sense of self, you're not overly concerned with what others think. Author Seth Godin once learned from The Book of Est that he controlled the stories he told himself about the world. By changing those stories, he found more happiness. If failing a test crushes you, think about the stories you're telling yourself about it. Instead of always imagining the worst, try looking at things differently. It's not easy, but you can learn how. When you're focusing on something, ask yourself if it will matter when you're old, if you can do something about it, or if it's just a story you keep telling yourself. Change your internal narratives. An article about regret on one's deathbed doesn't touch upon failing tests. Typically, these regrets revolve around big, lifelong issues. If you're carrying shame from something in your childhood, it's best to hash it out with a therapist or talk directly to your parents. There are some issues you can't alter. Figuring out what these stories are means digging into layers of tales until you find the core truth. Then, you can examine the narratives you've attached to it. You might not realize how you've nurtured that core truth with your stories. Failing a science test is the bare fact. Seeing it as failing your parents is the story. It's up to you to change the stories you tell yourself. Learn from setbacks and honor progress. Failing isn't the end, it's a sign you're pushing forward. When your goals are bigger than your current skills, that's a good thing. Sure, you might stumble, but each setback builds your strength and know-how. Take this author, who after a dozen tries over 7 years, finally nailed it with a successful website. It snagged awards, drew in over 50 million readers, and kickstarted a career in writing and teaching about intentional living. Think about baseball greats like Cy Young and Nolan Ryan. They racked up the most wins and strikeouts, but also the most losses and walks. Why? Because they spent a ton of time on the field, facing challenges head-on. Commencement speeches often say, "Do what you love," but here's the kicker: only if you love it enough to handle the frustrations and hard work. If you're eyeing another job, brace yourself for the rejection that often comes with it. To boost your resilience, try new things, even if they make you uncomfortable. Attend a reading by an unknown author, or say yes to a party invite from someone you barely know. Sure, it might feel like a waste of time, but you might just meet people who light up your world. Failure, learn, and grow. Let's talk about embracing failure without fear. It's like having two budgets, $20 for experimenting with oysters and $5,000 for launching a new podcast. The motto? You win some, you learn some. Think of it as keeping track of your successes and losses, but being kind to yourself along the way. Instead of hiding failures, acknowledge them and learn from them. This honesty humanizes you. After all, trusting someone means knowing their failures too. Develop a method for expressing worries. In the past, confession in religion was like a remedy for the soul. It was a way to unload your burdens when life got heavy. But nowadays, more and more people are saying no to religion. People are turning to a new outlet, the internet. Frank Warren cooked up something special back in 2005. He started Post Secret, a project where people send in their secrets on postcards anonymously. It's become a global phenomenon, with over 1 million secrets shared. Now, therapy is great for tackling problems head-on. But here's a quick fix you can try every morning. Spend just 2 minutes jotting down your thoughts. Write down what you want to let go of, what you're thankful for, and what you're focusing on for the day. It might sound silly, but trust me, it works wonders. It's like a magic potion that helps ease your worries. A study called The Benefits of Frequent Positive Effect, Does Happiness Lead to Success?, found that starting your day on a positive note can seriously amp up your productivity, sales, and creativity. Another research showed that jotting down 5 things you're thankful for each week can make you happier and healthier in just 10 weeks. Lastly, having a plan for what you want to achieve each day helps reduce decision fatigue, which is when your brain gets tired from making too many choices. Forge your path, don't follow. Instead of chasing after the same jobs everyone else is, try a different approach. While top companies may go all out to recruit from fancy schools like Harvard Business School, one former dean suggested thinking outside the box. Instead of going where everyone else is, consider companies that aren't in the limelight, even ones that have had some tough times. For instance, a grad ended up at Walmart and found they valued him a lot more than he expected. Being a big fish in a smaller pond can boost your confidence. Studies even show this confidence boost can stick with you for years, even after you've moved on. But there's a catch. If you're not careful, all that power and confidence can lead you down the wrong path. High productivity can hinder goals. A 2015 report from McKinsey & Company found that workers today are 2.4 times more productive than in 1964. But being productive can have its downsides. According to New Yorker writer Alexandra Schwartz, our obsession with productivity can lead us to improve ourselves to death. Author Barry Schwartz suggests that while Americans have more choices than ever before, they aren't necessarily happier because of it. Author T. Wu adds that while technology was meant to help us pursue our personal goals, it often has the opposite effect. We may accomplish more in a day than our ancestors did in a month, but we struggle to relax and enjoy ourselves. We might not even take the time to make sure we're on the right path. In his book, The Happiness Equation, Pasricha divides a 168-hour week into three parts: work, sleep, and fun. He emphasizes that work and sleep enable fun. If you find that your hobby, like writing, falls into the fun category, but you also want to spend time with your family, something's got to give. Two questions can help you decide what to do. First, ask yourself if you'd regret not making a change. And second, think about what you'd do if you fail. In the case of the author, he chose to return to the corporate world after pursuing a career as an author and speaker. Find focus. In his first year of a new career, he ironically wrote less than before. Instead of peaceful writing time, he dealt with constant interruptions like phone calls, messages, meetings, and interviews. His solution? To set aside one day each week that was off limits. Though he could move this day around within the week, he never canceled it. On these sacred days, he managed to churn out 5,000 words, 10 times more than on a regular day. The protected time let him dive deep into his work without distractions. Many folks hesitate to disconnect from their devices. At first, the author's wife worried she couldn't reach him in an emergency, so he agreed to check his phone during lunch. But all he found were a bunch of notifications from texts, emails, and feeds. No emergencies. Now, he just lets his wife know where he's working in case she needs him. A must for busy bees. If you're super busy like an ER doctor or a CEO's assistant, it's tough to go tech-free all day. But you can try something cool called an untouchable lunch. Instead of chowing down with everyone else, take a solo walk without your phone. Another challenge is getting your team to unplug too. A study in the Harvard Business Review found that when folks were forced to take time off, they actually did better at staying away from work stuff. Whether it's mandatory vacations or some other trick, making time to disconnect is possible and pretty darn important. Trust your decisions and keep going. Resilience is about keeping on moving forward, no matter what. Make decisions simple. A Harvard professor, Daniel Gilbert, says when you feel like you don't have a choice, you tend to think you made the right call. But when you do have options, you start doubting yourself a lot. If you're stuck between two good choices, just pick one. You can always say you didn't have much of a choice. Also, remember, conversations aren't about winning or losing. If someone doesn't get what you're saying, change how you explain it. It's up to you to make them understand, not the other way around. That's what empathy is all about. Key points. 1. Recognize that others aren't as focused on you as you think. 2. Failures are steps forward, not setbacks. 3. Rewrite your self-narratives to overcome shame and grow. 4. Learn from failures and successes, both big and small. 5. Disconnect to focus and boost productivity. 6. Trust your decisions and simplify choices to keep moving forward.